Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about just taking a walk or following Jesus. And as we've talked about this, we have tried to do the best we could to describe what a follower of Jesus looks like. So we've talked about certain things. Number one, that in order to be a follower of Jesus, you kind of have to be somehow connected and into the Word. The thing that God has revealed to us, to people throughout history, especially as He spoke to His people, the children of Israel. But the whole thing that has been identified as God's revelation to us, knowing and being in that. Denying self and obeying God, two sides of the same coin. We've talked about that. We've talked about serving God and serving others. Again, it's something you do both simultaneously. Sharing our faith. Living a life where we share Jesus, even with the things we do, not just with the words that we share. Putting our faith into action, which I think kind of goes hand in hand with that idea of obeying God. But the reality is, a lot of times we really have to fight through a lot of things in order to really exercise faith, to get stretched and do what we know God wants us to do. To do the things that are clear and simple. Not even the hard stuff, just the easy stuff that we know He told us to do. Putting our faith into action. We talked about seeking God, doing that with our whole hearts, every part of us. And then last week, we talked about building relationships, which means today we are coming into the station and we are talking about something that is going to be very important because I think it ties a lot of things together, and I'll explain that in just a minute. When I got started with this right after New Year started, one of the things that I asked you to do, I don't know if you remember, but at the end of the message where I started talking about being a disciple, I asked you to take your card, and what did I ask you to do? Does anybody remember what I asked you to do on the card? I gave everybody a card. Arrow up. Okay, if you're in, arrow up. Okay, so I'm asking you to remember the card and the arrow up. Because I am toying with this idea of when we're through in a week and we're done with this series, I'm going to do something with that card, and I'm going to get it back into your possession. Okay? So let's just be praying about what we're supposed to do with that card. But it indicated that you were in. You're in on this thing that we're talking about. On all these characteristics that we're talking about. You said you're in. You gave me an arrow up. So today I want to share with you the last of these characteristics of following Jesus, and it's one that's really hard for us. In fact, right now, I want you to do something very unusual. I could ask you to stand up and do the hokey pokey, but I'm not going to do that, okay? In your mind, I want you to take off whatever mask you wore in here today, because you're not fooling anybody except yourself if you're wearing a mask. A lot of times, if you're like me, it can be a real struggle just to get here without being grumpy about something with somebody. I'm not saying that's a good thing. What I'm saying is it's the real thing. But when we get here, you know, you got the quintessential picture of, you know, everybody's got their Sunday best on. It's all, you know, every hair's done and, you know, everything's right. And I got my Bible in my arm and it's the right version and all that kind of stuff. Okay. We've got this image of what it means to be together as a congregation. And I'm telling you, masks and pseudonyms and anything that's not real, that's not us, that's not what it's about. It's about being transparent before God, transparent with one another. And so today, what I'm talking with you about is that idea of transparency, and is our life an open book, and why it's got to be. What I want to talk with you about today. Whenever I was in seminary back in Fort Worth, that I thought it was the promised land at that time, and I got there and realized they didn't have any trees, so it couldn't be the promised land. But I think I was in the second semester of my first year, and I had to take a class. And one of the things that it was to be one of those classes where you had to remember a lot of stuff, and you had to pour it back on a lot of tests. And I remember I was ready. I was prepared. And the only problem with that was that everybody else in the class was also ready and prepared. Because when the test came back and everybody got their scores, that's when the professor said, "Oh, by the way, I score on a curve. And all you guys who got 94 and up, you got an A. And all of you got 88 to 93, you got a B." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. You're penalizing me because everybody else did well too? Because I made a 92. And I got a B." And he didn't tell us that till after the test. Now, why I tell you that story and why it bothers me so much and what it's done in my life is I now, I teach at Savannah State, okay? So when I walk in that classroom, I say, "Look, this is not smoke and mirrors, guys. I'm going to ask you to do things. I'm going to tell you how to do them. And if you feel like in any way, shape, or form, I have not asked you to do what I described, talk to me. Because it is essential to me that I have integrity. I had to be open. I have to be open." I even tell them my little story about reading a gosh-awful Victorian novel. Never want you to have to read Miss Dalloway. If you have, I so am so sorry. Virginia Woolf. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I'm sitting there, we're reading this in class in my junior year, and all of a sudden, I read three words and I realized I was nowhere near as smart as I thought I was. Chest of drawers. I had been calling the blooming thing a chest of drawers all my life, because that's what they told me it was. My mama said, "That's a chest of drawers." So when I saw a chest of drawers in Mrs. Dalloway, written by Virginia Woolf, it is forever etched upon my mind. And I tell that story to my students because I want them to see I'm transparent. I am not perfect. And I don't want them to think that I'm expecting them to be perfect. I'm just asking them to engage in the process and realize, yeah, there's some things I have that I can share with them that I can help them be better writers. I can help them be ready to do what they need to do in college. And that's my job. But I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Tell me if I screwed up the grade book. Tell me where. Give me the proof and we're good. So without transparency, what I've decided is that most of the life of following Jesus is impossible without transparency. As I thought about it, I realized that before God and before other people, transparency is just not an option. It's something we've got to hold on to. We've got to practice. In fact, as I thought about it, most of the spiritual obstacles in my life I would never have been able to deal with at all if I had not understood and come to embrace the fact that transparency had to be a part of the deal. I don't know about you, but that's what I found out. If I'm trying to hold things in and I'm trying to protect myself from letting people see what I really deal with or really struggle with, it never gets better. I never get through it. Never get over it. And the problem is I never have victories God wants me to have if I'm not transparent. Also, I never would have reaped any kind of fruit in God's kingdom if I was not open and transparent. If I don't risk, if I don't let people see who I am, I don't let them understand what I've gone through, what challenges have been difficult for me, then I cannot sow into fertile soil. Can't do it. These are scary thoughts. In fact, unfortunately, in most of mainline Christendom, this is heresy. The idea of us being really transparent, not playing a role. But if we're transparent and our lives are an open book, then we'll seek out people to speak into our lives. And that's a thing that I want to talk with you about first. You know, I've got this love for stories. You guys know that. And so stories and movies kind of go hand in hand. And so there's an iconic story that we're all kind of swimming in, if you're my age, for lots of years, that we know something about. So I want to, as I'm launching out and talking about seeking somebody to speak into our lives, I want to give you one of those film clips from one of those iconic movie. John.
Mm-hmm. some power. Okay. Let's see now. There you go. Now all I gotta do is find this Yoda. If he even exists. It's really a strange place to find a Jedi Master. This place gives me the creeps.
Still, there's something familiar about this place.
I don't know. I feel like... like we're being watched.
Oh, wait, put your weapon. I mean you no harm. I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm looking for someone.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say.
Right.
Help you again? Yes.
I don't think so. I'm looking for a great warrior.
Oh! Great warrior? Wars not make one great.
Put that down. Now we.
Hey! It's my dinner!
How you get so big to do food of this kind?
Listen, friend, we didn't mean to land in that puddle, and if we could get our ship out, we would, but we can't, so why don't you just.
I'll get your ship out!
Hey, get out of there!
No!
Hey, you could have broken this. Don't do that. Oh, you're making a mess. Hey, that.
Fine, or I will help you not.
I don't want your help. I want my lamp back. I'm gonna need it to get out of this slimy mud hole.
Mud hole? Slimy? My home, this is.
R2, let him have it.
Fine.
R2! Hey, move along, little fella. We got a lot of work to do.
No. Stay and help you, I will. Find your friend? Hmm?
I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master.
Oh, Jedi Master? Yoda. You seek Yoda.
You know him?
Take it to him, I will. Yes, but now, let's eat. Come. Good food, come.
R2, stay and watch after the camp.
So, Luke was looking for Yoda, the great warrior. Did he find what he thought he was looking for? He didn't find what he thought he was looking for, but he found what he was looking for. One of the things that for me, whenever I look at this kind of clip, and I think about seeking someone to speak into our lives, the funny thing is, a lot of times, it's not the people we think that we really want to speak into our lives. But it is the people that really should and can speak into our lives. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 for a second. We've looked at this passage quite a bit in the last few weeks. It's that seminal day when the church came into being there in Jerusalem after Peter's speech, his sermon. And this is what happened after, as people responded to the message of Jesus. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Notice that. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. These people were seeking somebody to tell them the way. They were wanting to know what the next step was now that they had responded to this word that Peter had preached. And they had seen the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they saw it as they gathered together. And the more they saw, the more they wanted, and the more they sought. We need people to speak into our lives. And the only way that people can speak into our lives is if we realize that it's not about wearing a mask or wearing a costume. It's about being real. It's about being transparent. We've got to be transparent to allow people into our lives so that they can help us become more like Jesus. The only way that you and I can grow as we ask people to speak into our lives is if we understand that there's going to be a give and take in all this relationship. The Bible has this word, and we have this concept called accountability that we struggle with in our culture. In fact, a lot of times in our culture, if somebody tries to hold somebody accountable in the church and it's too high profile, then somebody runs for a lawyer. That's the kind of culture we live in. It's not Christ culture, but it is the culture we have. But that's not what we need to be doing. What we need to be doing is seeking those people who can be honest with us, who will be honest about their experience, and then that we can be open to, who can speak into our experience as we try to follow Jesus. It is what the Bible says is the norm, not the outlier. So let's go back to Yoda and Luke for just a minute. And in just a second, I'm going to show you another clip. This clip describes one of the things that happens between a mentor and one being mentored. It's not pretty. Sometimes it's a roller coaster. But the reality is, if we let somebody speak into our lives, we let them see our failures just as well as we let them see our successes. So let's cue that one up, John.
No. We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you? Always with you, it cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No, no different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No. Why not? Do. Or do not. There is no try. Size, do you? And where you should not.
You want the impossible. believe it.
That is why you fail.
So sometimes we need somebody to speak into our lives to remind us that we have to unlearn what we have learned. We've learned how to cover our tracks. We've learned how to protect our backs. We've learned how to protect our reputations. And unfortunately, all that energy has kept us from moving on and following Jesus. It takes a lot of energy to do those things. We need somebody speaking into our lives. What we just saw was, in a kernel, accountability. So let me show you a passage from the Bible about accountability. This is from Exodus chapter 18. It's this chapter in the Bible where we see Moses trying to be a leader all by himself. What we see in Exodus 18 is his father-in-law coming to gently pull him aside and say, "Son, you're not doing such a good thing." Let's see what he says. "It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning till evening?' But Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make known the statutes of God and his law.' Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people, people who are with you. For the task is too heavy for you, and you cannot do it alone.' And of course, he then suggested to Moses that he delegate a bit and get other people involved in the process, and it was a very good word for him to hear. What do we learn from this? Well, if we're going to be transparent, we're going to have people speaking into our lives, and we're going to be opening to them, then we have to understand that that transparency ensures teachability. Because if we're not open and we're not transparent, we can't talk about our deficiencies or our problems or our failures, because we're always trying to act like we didn't. But if we're open and we're transparent, then we can be teachable. We can learn from our failures, like Luke there in this clip, and we can go on and see that, yes, things are possible that we thought were impossible in our lives and in the lives of other people. But it all happens if we are willing to be accountable and if we are willing to be transparent. So then, because of that, it's also about growth. We can grow if we're like this. If we're transparent, then we can move on. If we're not transparent, we can't grow. There are certain things that will never change. What do they say about being crazy? Insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? I know a lot of crazy people. Also, we want to influence people for the kingdom. And if we're not going to let somebody speak into our lives, because we're not open and we're not transparent, there are going to be a lot of things that we're not going to be able to see happen in the kingdom that God wants to do through us. A lot of lives that God wants to change. A lot of people He wants to challenge, just because we listen to Him and we let people speak to us. So it takes transparency to speak into the lives of others too. So let's talk about that for a minute. We have one more clip here. Sometimes, when we're transparent, we also understand that speaking into the lives of other people is a tough challenge. Sometimes, just like we found in our lives, we can be kind of hard-headed. The truth is, we're not trying to find people who are hard-headed, but we're trying to find people who are wanting to learn and wanting to become more like Jesus. One other iconic movie that I know Dusty has this fond spot for in his heart is The Karate Kid. So we're going to go to the original one. And let's see a scene. This is actually kind of a concatenation of a few scenes here. John.
"Now, ready?"
"Yeah, I'm ready."
First wash all the car, then wax.
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand.
Wax on, right hand, make circle. Wax off, left hand, circle.
Accomplish paint the fence. All in wrist. Wrist up, knee down.
Right the circle, left the circle.
I learned how to sand your decks, maybe. I wax your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty, right?
Not everything is as simple. Daniel-san!
What?
Come here. Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Now show me wax on, wax off. Wax on, hat. Wax off. Show me paint the fence. Up. Down. Show me paint the house side, side. Lock wrist. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off.
That! 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 That!
Show me paint the fence.
Paint! Paint! That! That!
Show me side to side.
Yes! That! That! That!
Show me sand the floor.
Hat! That! That! That!
Yes!
Yes! Stop! Stop!
Oi! Come back tomorrow.
Daniel went looking for somebody to teach him. And then when he got there, he didn't like what he was learning till he realized he was learning in the everyday stuff. Whenever we have people who are speaking into our lives and whenever we're speaking into other people's lives and we're transparent in the process, what we find out is that every single thing is the classroom because we haven't shut ourselves off from anything God wants to tell us. Here's some names you don't know. Ethan Ware. Kevin Childs, Peyton Day, Dusty Reynolds, you do know. Who do you think these are? These are people who came after me to speak into my life. Whenever I was a freshman in college, I can't tell you how many times I walked around the Baptist Student Ministry building in Spartanburg, which was right by Wofford College campus. Week after week, I would walk around. And you know why I didn't go in the door? I didn't know anybody. Or think that I knew anybody. And finally, this guy named Ethan Ware that I was playing baseball with said, "Hey, Rick, you go to church?" "Well, I do at home." "Well, you want to come with me?" What do you think happened? I went. Because Ethan asked me. 2.5 years, I went to Ethan's little startup church that he was a part of. Sunday school class, me, the kicker at Wofford, another guy that played baseball with us that we call War Horse, because he was a stout boy. That was it. Then there's Kevin Childs, who's, he's the French word, nom de plume, was it? He grew up with Doug Dorman. Those of you who know Doug, oh my gosh. They were buddies growing up. And whenever Kevin Childs left Wofford, he was ahead of me. He went back to teach at a place called Waccamaw Academy, and that's where Doug was teaching too. So they were two peas in a pod. Kevin was involved in FCA at Wofford and was one of the guys that he didn't just disciple me. He let me live in their room most of the time. And I wasn't the only one. We just hung around and did stuff all the time. We shared life. So where I learned what sharing life is all about. Spencer Knoll, another guy. Whenever I graduated from college, went back home to Atlanta. Spencer played softball with me, went to church with me. He was the only friend I had for 2.5 years, just about, because I didn't know anybody else in Atlanta, even though I grew up in Atlanta. Peyton was just like that. He invited me to come to church where he was going whenever I was looking, and I went. And then here, you know, about 19, whatever it was, year 2001, Dusty said, you can hang around here as long as you want and heal. And I never left. That's what Paul did. He found Timothy and he spoke into Timothy's life. And that's what we're supposed to do too. And it's impossible if we aren't transparent with people and talk about what God's done in us. So you look at 2 Timothy as Paul's talking to him. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to these faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rule. And the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are guys like Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Paul was speaking into Timothy. He was talking directly to him because Timothy was teachable. Timothy wanted to grow. He was willing to be accountable. And Paul sought out Timothy, and Timothy was willing to be taught. We have to be transparent. We have to be transparent in order to be able to tell others what Jesus has done in our life. Whenever we talk about sharing our faith, or we talk about mentoring or discipling somebody else, if we are not willing to put it all on the table and use it all for God's glory, and realize it's not about my perfect reputation, it's not about all the things I got right, it's about talking about how God's grace has changed my life and your life. Transparency is how we get there. It's a hard thing for us to do. You've heard that acrostic, and I'm not going to spell it out for you. Faithful, available, teachable. We've got to be those things. Faithful, available, and teachable. In order to do that, we've got to be authentic. One more passage I want to share with you, and then I'm going to close. I want it to be burned upon your memory. And that is the psalm that David wrote that we believe is a record of what happened when he got confronted, when his stuff got exposed. Psalm 51. This is what David wrote. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Confession. Wisdom that comes with failure and victory, and sharing from our heart. That's what transparency allows to happen. People who follow Jesus don't try to cover things up. Don't try to hide. Don't try to be who we're not. And what we find is when the Holy Spirit takes who we are, that He does great and marvelous things because it's His work. It's not our work. All we have to do is cooperate. Transparency. Here's your challenges, folks. Number one, seek someone to be a mentor or discipler in your life. If you don't have somebody speaking into your life, I encourage you to take that step. We're not talking about 20 people, we're talking about one. Find somebody. Okay? It may not be the person that everybody else thinks looks like the guy. Okay? It may be a little green guy with funny ears. I don't know. It may be somebody skinny as a pole, 6 foot tall. It may be somebody 4 foot seven who's 180 pounds, but who loves Jesus. Two, be accountable to others. When you find those people, be willing to be transparent and have somebody that you're accountable to. Because you can't grow if it doesn't happen. Three, someone to mentor a disciple. Somebody to pour your life into that you can be open with and honest with. Four, when you find them, be authentic. Because nobody likes a hypocrite. We don't either. And five, share your heart and tell people your faith story. Transparency makes all these things possible. Without transparency, not one of these are possible. Today I'm not eloquent. I hope I'm simple enough. I know I've lasted longer than I want to be. But I want to close this in prayer. And if you got a card again, you want to be transparent, draw a circle. Just like a lens that goes to your heart. Say, this is what I want to be. Put your prayer requests on there too. You know, we join with you in those. Let's take this trip together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time to hear your word, to see how you speak, realize you're speaking through stories, you're speaking in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to be more transparent. Lord, following you is all about being real, being authentic. Lord, forgive us for hiding our weaknesses. Forgive us for trying to relegate even our failures to a closet somewhere instead of embracing the place that they have in our lives and that we can actually draw from those. Lord, I pray that we will not try to wear masks, but that we'll just be willing to let people see who we are. Thank you that we can, and that we can do so, Lord, in the strength and the safety that comes from your Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a few minutes to be quiet. If you want to come and kneel this morning, you can do that. But Dusty and Dane and I, we're going to be available after the service today if you need to pray. We'll find a quiet corner somewhere. So you seek us out. And if God's putting on your heart somebody that you want to seek to be the person to speak into your life, I want you to write that on that card too. And we'll be praying with you about that possibility. It's not a commitment yet, but it's a desire. And we'll be praying that God will honor that desire. Father, you do good things in quiet. Help us to have quiet hearts before you. Speak to us about whatever you want to talk to us about. You come forward now. If you've got a card, you've got an offering you want to put in the basket, there's a basket back, there's two up front. If you want to come and kneel, you can do that. We're just going to be quiet while Gary plays for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to come together and we're going to pray over those missionaries that God's given to us. Father, let us say amen for whatever you're saying to us in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name. Dusty, why don't you come forward now?
There, y'all come on up. This beautiful child here, I've known her all her life, though she hadn't known me. I grew up with her her mother and her uncles. And in fact, her oldest uncle was one of my best friends. We went all over the Southeast on motorcycles together. I've not even met you yet.
Lorenzo.
We're glad y'all are here. And Lorenzo, why don't you tell us what y'all are doing?
Yeah, sure. We work with the International Mission Board, and we serve in Nairobi, Kenya. We've been in East Africa since about January of 2015, and so this is our first time for our stateside assignment. And we'll be here till around June, end of June or so. And so we work with university students at the University of Nairobi. We do ministry there. We have Bible studies, discipleship, fellowships, and we mobilize students, take them on mission trips. And so it's been a blessing. The Lord's doing great work out there. And we're just the fortunate position of reaping a lot of that fruit. So it's been a great success out there for us.
Wonderful. Tell us what your mom and dad are doing right now.
They're just staying busy. They're outside of Dallas, still doing counseling with families and couples, and really involved in their church. Yeah, they're doing really well.
And have you spent any time in East Africa before this trip?
So I was there from the time I was one until I was nine. And now we're living back in the exact same area where I was when I was growing up. Yep.
The way she talks is just like her. The way she does her mouth, just like her mother. Y'all come over here and stand right here. We're going to anoint you and pray for you. If some of y'all want to come down and lay hands on them, come on. This is something, Lorenzo, this is something we do. Every servant that comes through, if they're a missionary, they're serving a church or someone, just something we've done ever since we started the church. So we believe it's a blessing that we want to let the Lord use us to impart to you guys, okay? All right. Come on, Masako. Come on up here. Aren't you proud?
Yeah.
I know you are. Lorenzo, Claire, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let's just listen for a moment before we pray. Has the Lord given you one word that while we were talking or just now to speak over them right now? Say it out loud. Lord, we come in agreement with what you are doing in their lives. Lord, I thank you for these two. You have called them. You have picked them out even before they were a twinkle in their daddy's eye. You knew from eternity past where they would be this day. Thank you. Lord, we do pray your protection. We do pray that you would go before them. Lord, I know you're leading them by your Spirit. And I ask you, God, to open the pathways, all of those places, Lord, as you give them those dreams and those that encouragement, as you put that pillar of fire ahead of them, God, I'm asking you today that you'll give them the desires of their heart, and as their home. At this time with their stateside assignment, Lord, I know they're going to drag these kids all over the place and pillar to post. But God, I know in every place they go, your anointing is going to be on them there too. Because they're not just serving you in East Africa. They're serving you here too. And I pray for a blessing. Hey, Lord, and I pray for a restoring. You would restore their soul while they're here, that they can rest in you and get ready to go back on the front lines, as it were. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I don't know Lorenzo's parents, but I know Claire's parents, and I thank you for the heritage of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And if you're in agreement with this prayer,
amen.
Because that's what you say when you say amen anyway. You say, so be it. All right.
Thank you.
Go in grace.
Thank you.
Vamos a la casa. We're through singing.